Welcome back to Standby Line, the only podcast for stumbling on the ride by the end. I'm your host, Tim, as always, and joined by my co-host, AJ.
Hello, everybody.
And we hit the funny number.
We did indeed hit the funny number. We've been waiting a long time for this.
We got a bigger milestone coming up, but like, I was looking more forward to this.
Yeah. It's not even something we like specifically talked about. It's just something where we both kind of went, yeah, it's going to be really funny when it happens. It's just the rule of the thing.
Yeah. All right, so as always, thank you to our VIP patrons, Crystal Conman, Rinslustig, and Darian Smart.
And thank you to you, the listener at home, for reviewing the podcast, telling your friends about the podcast. Please tell us you're telling your friends about the podcast.
Please?
Please? Yeah, please share the podcast. No, I'm kidding. I'm not gonna sound desperate. That's just us being funny. But also, share the podcast, genuinely. We're a good podcast. What, are we not good enough for you to share?
You got some attitude, mister.
I know, right? I swear, they're so ungrateful. After everything we do for them.
Ridiculous. Alright, so yes, today we are finally doing Runaway Railway after talking about it so many times.
Yeah. It still baffles me, because you made me think about it when you said that last time, and I'm like, it still just completely confuses me that we haven't done an episode on Runaway Railway yet. We've had so much to say about it, and by God, have we said most of it.
Alright, so, I know in the past, mainly when we were talking about Runaway Railway, it's been our criticisms of it. I want to make this clear, we absolutely do not hate this. I honestly think this ride is great.
I love it so much. Runaway Railway has a very special place in my heart. I was just also there for it launching, so I know that, technically speaking, it is a disaster. And I say that with love. It is a hot mess in the way that most Hollywood studios rides are hot messes.
So, I know we've touched on this aspect of it before, but it's impossible to talk about Runaway Railway without mentioning it. I wish that we didn't have to lose Great Movie Ride to get this. That's the biggest complaint I have with this.
Yeah, same. That is by far the biggest complaint I have with it, is the fact that we had to lose Great Movie Ride to get it.
I understand that part of it is the park wants to break away from its original identity, since that park functionally no longer exists when they were trying to make what was then MGM an active movie studio at the same time as a theme park, and that just didn't work for a number of reasons. But at the same time, just it's tell kids there are good old movies that don't have a lamp bouncing on a ball before them.
Yeah, and I remember when it was announced the Great Movie Ride was closing, a lot of people had thought like that was it for Hollywood Studios as Hollywood Studios. There were a million rumors that started flying around about it getting renamed.
And really, at this point, I think the only reason it hasn't is because they can't think of a good one.
Well, the one that was going around for a while was just dropping Hollywood and just renaming it Studios, because that's already what they refer to it as internally.
Yeah, but making the official name Studios is just boring.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why it didn't happen. It was just like, yeah, nobody really cared to change one name on every sign and piece of text in the park. It's like, okay, who cares? We still have it looking like the Chinese Theater. This is still supposed to be Sunset and Vine, so. For all intents and purposes, it is still Hollywood. It's just a gateway to whatever else Hollywood has going on at the moment.
Speaking of Hollywood, I will say that is undeniably an advantage the Disneyland version has over the version in Disney World. Because obviously, the Disney World version had to be built into the existing structure of the Chinese theater.
Yeah.
In Disneyland, they built a whole new building from the ground up. And oh my god, the queue is just so much better.
Yeah, but it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, of course the queue is going to be better, but at the same time, I enjoy the way the Disney World version just made everything work.
Yeah, it gets the vibe across, because basically the way Disney World version is set up is like, you're going through a theater lobby and you see posters for all the various Mickey shorts leading up to the one that you're going to see the premiere of, quote unquote. But the one in Disneyland, it's set up to be more like a theater in like the world of these shorts, and a lot of the theming and merchandise reflects that.
Yeah, And I think this also comes around to the point that Disneyland does ultimately benefit doing a Mickey Mouse ride just off of the fact that it also has, you know, Toontown, which just recently got renovated to be very Mickey themed as it is.
Right.
I mean, more Mickey themed than it already was.
And, yeah, that's the next point. So, if you're unfamiliar, the ride, despite how the name might imply, isn't based on the quote-unquote evergreen versions of the characters. They're based specifically on the ones from the Paul Rudd shorts, which, if you haven't seen any of them, they're fantastic.
But if you've ever stayed on property, you have absolutely watched one. Like, there's no way around it. If you've ever been in one of the resorts on any of the properties, you have watched one of them.
If you waited in line for the Magical Express, you've seen some.
They're everywhere. Everywhere. I have a very large number of them memorized from not being able to sleep. Because I am notorious about not sleeping in hotel rooms. As an aside, I am, like, absolutely notorious about never being able to sleep in a hotel room. And because it is one of the TV stations that you can get at the resort, my parents always turn it on because it's relatively harmless. Everybody likes it. Nobody really has a strong opinion against it. And I just stay up all night watching those shorts. That is what every staycation turns into me. And it's like, it turns into for me. And you know those memes about, like, waking up at 2 a.m. and George Lopez is playing on the TV?
Oh, yeah.
That's that for me. Except it's not terrifying. It's just like, yeah, this is just... I'm just used to waking up at 2 in the morning and there's a Rudish short playing. Okay.
And there's Potato Land.
Yeah, there's Potato Land. That's what's going on right now.
So, so continuing with that theme, the story of the ride is that you are going to the premiere of one of these new shorts. And now that we're getting into that, I should also take the time to mention that this ride did mark the final performance by Rosie Taylor as Minnie Mouse. This was her last performance she recorded before she passed away in 2018.
Yeah.
Oh, no, wait, 2019, I'm sorry.
That's weird to think about.
It is, and... Oh, God, when you know that, hearing the song just makes it so much worse.
Yeah, that's exactly where my brain went, is I just immediately went to that song, and I went, oh, no!
Ugh.
Youch. That's painful.
It stings.
Anyways, never mind all that, I suppose. Let's not dwell on that for too long. 8 minutes in, and we've already gotten existential. Woo boy.
Do you want me to make it sadder? Because I can.
I know you can. That's what I'm afraid of.
So they start playing the short, Perfect Picnic. And so over the course of Mickey and Minnie in their drive, they come across Goofy, who's operating a Loki motive.
Why?
Of course.
Because it's Goofy. Do you need answers?
Goofy has every job.
Goofy's just doing what Goofy does. It's just how it goes. Does he have a license to be operating the Loki motive? Absolutely not. At least presumably not. He probably does, actually.
Don't ask dumb questions.
It's Goofy. Does he need a license? Bro plays like three professional sports like it's nothing. And is also somehow one of the world's best disco dancers. He could be forklift certified for all I care. He could not be forklift certified. You think I'm asking questions if he gets on a forklift? No, it's Goofy. Even if it goes horribly wrong, it's going to be extremely funny.
His certification with the train does then come into question when he causes the steam valve to explode, and
because a pie falls in it, it is funny.
And in probably the best effect in the ride, you get the explosion come out through the screen you're watching. Steam comes out, and that's how you get into the loading area through the massive explosion.
Yeah. I love the seams and walls that are just completely invisible until they open up. I love that they figured that out to such a T.
I had not seen any footage of this ride the first time I went in, so seeing that was a genuine surprise.
Yeah, and I love the fact that they're doing that so much now. Like, genuinely, it just looks so good at every ride they do it in. And I, for the most part, have very little idea how they do it. You'd think I would have figured it out by now. But you forget one key thing. which is that I am extremely dumb.
On that point, though, you exit the ride through another one of these theaters, because there's a couple you go through, so you come out through one of the other theaters that has the explosion in it. I don't know if it's the same in the Disneyland version, but it's kind of a weird quirk of the building's design.
Yeah. It's one thing that always kind of got me about it. It's like, do we really have to? Because I do like, if you turn around and look at the screen, it says the end, like you've reached the end of the cartoon.
Yeah.
But it's like, did we need to have this be an explosion, or could we not have just, like, transitioned back into the theater like we were leaving the premiere? And just kind of gone, like, don't acknowledge it. Nothing happened. You're imagining things.
Yeah. Just kind of an odd decision, I think.
It's one of those things where, like you said, they're building it into an existing building and they could only do so much with that. Because you can't drastically change the Chinese theater. At that point, you would just have to tear it all down and build up a new building, which, why would you tear down what is essentially Hollywood Studios' castle?
Right. Although for marketing purposes, they use Tower of Terror, so I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you load up onto the train for a nice, relaxing, scenic ride around Runamuck Park. What could possibly go wrong?
Well, the name Runamuck, for starters. I feel very bad for whoever named that township.
But in fact, it is not Goofy's fault.
No, Goofy, for his part, does everything right after the explosion. And even the explosion isn't really his fault. That's because Mickey and Minnie are terrible planners.
Yeah, Mickey and Minnie end up hitting a track switch with their car, and that detaches every car from the train, every car from the engine of the train, and that's how we get sent on our adventure.
Mickey and Minnie caused all of this. We're blaming Goofy for nothing. Goofy is a scapegoat.
But by the way, you're probably not going to notice this the first time, but if you ride this ride more than once, pay close attention to what Pluto's doing in each scene, because his subplot, is actually the main story of the ride.
That's something I didn't pick up on until one of the times I had to get evac'd off the ride, and I was just sitting there for a while, and I was like, what? Why is Pluto just hanging out in all the scenes?
Oh, where'd you get evac'd from?
It was the tornado scene the first time, and the dance room the second time. I only got evac'd the two times, and it was both during cast previews.
Okay.
Because that was back in the day when you could go to cast previews multiple times, and you could ride the ride multiple times per preview.
Good times.
Back when they were nice about cast previews. And then there's Tron, where it's like, yes, it's you and one other person, you're allowed to ride once, and if you even think about applying for more than one preview, we will yell at you.
So anyway, after that, it's just... it's stuff.
It's just a bunch of cartoon scenes, honestly. It turns into the predictable level of chaos you expect from a Rudish short.
And it's funny, I love all of it, but there's basically no connecting tissue from one scene to the next.
Oh no, you're just flowing between what could honestly just be like five independent shorts.
Pretty much. And the show scenes themselves are a good mixture of the projections, which they make great use of these. Basically, one projection will take up the entire length of the room, and because they're using a trackless system, each car is going to be placed on a different scene, so everyone gets a different view of the entire show scene.
Yeah. It's handled really well, and I think it also provides really good power for a lot of the transitions that they do.
Mm-hmm. So, if you're in the front car at the beginning of the ride, you will not be there at the end of the ride.
Oh, no. Almost certainly not. But it's also not as clean as, they just remix you where you flip your order. No, if you're the first car, you're probably, car 4 of 6.
Yeah. And it's not just projections. There are a good amount of physical sets in there. And there's a couple of animatronics, although it's the kind where they have their faces projected on, which doesn't look as great, but yeah.
I remember when they were first premiering that technology, and everybody thought it was going to be for characters.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that was a while ago, but I remember when everybody thought that was going to be a character thing. And now look where we are. Actually, I'm not going to lie. They did use that for characters for a little while. People don't acknowledge that. They used that technology in a very, very basic form for characters for 2 years. Yeah, Mickey and Minnie both had versions where their eyes would actually faces.
Yeah.
Not the full face, but the eyes and they could facially react to things because the upper half of their face was projected.
Right.
That's also when they had the voices. because they were doing like the biggest experiment known to man, and then it turned out they just decided, no, too expensive.
Pretty much.
Oh, I miss those days. Some of the funniest interactions I've had with characters have been with those Mickeys. I had one where, and this is another aside while I'm thinking about it, because apparently we're just going through Mickey Mouse in the parks now. I had one on one occasion where he asked where we were from, and my mom, not thinking about it, said, "We're from here." And he, without missing a beat, went, "Oh, is this your dressing room? I'm sorry," and left. He just walked out of the room for a minute. It was the funniest thing. It was so like, oh, I feel like at that point, whoever that was had been preparing for that moment.
Oh, that is fantastic.
It did. It felt so practiced. It was like, oh, it was just an immediate response. But yeah, the projection technology, I think, does work for the ride as a novelty. But I think it also kind of highlights a lot of the problems the projections have with animatronics.
Yeah, it doesn't look super out of place here because, like, they're supposed to look like cartoon characters.
Yeah, exactly. It's supposed to kind of look weird and unrealistic in a lot of ways. It could be worse. It could be Universal doing that Fast and the Furious ride. Where they have animatronics that are basically just cardboard cutouts that get projections onto them.
Oh, God. Oh. Don't. Don't give me a reason to bring that up.
I never want to talk about it on the podcast again. I already regret mentioning it. It's my easiest excuse for why I hate Universal, though. That ride alone honestly pissed me off so much. We gave up Beetlejuice for that.
I think... No. That's not where I want to go with that. Yeah, like, I like the ride. It's great, but it's kind of hard to talk about just because, like, it is just a bunch of shtick.
Yeah, what do we really do with it, you know, that isn't just a beat-by-beat, like, here's what happens on the ride? You know, and I feel like that is partially the ride's biggest problem, and I don't mean that as, like, this super big, like, massive, like, it doesn't have a character complaint, it very much so does. It's just not the kind of ride that you can really advertise off of word of mouth. You just kind of show up, see a Mickey and Minnie ride right in the center of the park, and go, "Oh yeah, we should do that."
Yeah. Oh, obviously this makes sense. Let's do it.
Yeah. It's just a ride that like you do because you think you should, and that's why it's always hard to talk about Runaway Railway to people, and especially in something that isn't really a conversation in the normal sense. It's hard for Tim and I to just describe Runaway Railway.
Yeah,
because we don't want to just do a beat by beat like synopsis.
Because honestly, the scenes are too good for us to do that to it.
Yeah, there's so much to go over that you can see in every scene that I feel like we would almost be doing the ride a disservice by trying to give you the brass tacks. But technically, the ride is really well done, and if you ever go to Hollywood Studios, you actually should give it a ride, even if it's just for the tornado room. Where they have, like, an actual, like, prop tornado that just spins around the room while wind gusts at you. That's it. That's the scene. And it's really funny.
No, if there's one scene you go in for, it's Daisy's Dance Studio.
The Dance Studio is great. I love the Dance Studio. When I walked in the first time, for the first cast preview, and I got to that, like, I was already kind of chuckling through the ride because it is a very funny ride. When I got to that room just straight up broke me. I just bust out laughing, and I was, like, absolutely losing my mind laughing at that scene. And I think that's the thing that's, like, really underrated about this. Like, Runaway Railway is just so unabashedly, like, funny. And it's not even, like, the kind of funny where it tries to be funny and only lands sometimes. Like, no, it's just existing. It's just the kind of thing that is funny by nature of existing.
It can be in your face overtly funny, and then parts of it are Simpsons signage funny.
Yeah. Yeah, quite literally. That whole city scene is just so rife with so many different jokes that you have to pick out, like, blink and you miss it. Everything about this ride is. There are so many details that I'm very grateful I got to ride it as many time in previews as I did.
I have to check the exact number, but supposedly there are more hidden Mickeys in this ride than anywhere else on property.
That would not surprise me for a second.
No.
The only thing about that that kind of gets me is like, oh, well, hidden Mickeys kind of have gone, I don't necessarily want to say like out of style, but it is something they place a lot less focus on. But then you look at Runaway Railway and you go, yeah, they probably did stick like a million of them in there. But if Pandora could get a couple, there's no reason Runaway Railway didn't get like 10 times that number.
Oh, it absolutely not.
It always weirds me out when I remember there are a couple on Flight of Passage and I go, who approved that? What happened here to
technically nobody.
That is true. That is the point of it being hidden. But it's like, who looked at that and go, yeah, let's put a hidden Mickey in Flight of Passage of all things. I feel like it gets to the point where they just get bored. It's just like, yeah, let's doodle that in. Yeah, sure. But this one, I feel like it's much more a labor of love, where it's like, yes, this is the Mickey ride on property now, so we kind of have to chalk it up.
Yeah.
But seriously, there are so many fun details in this ride that I wish we could give you a synopsis, but it would ruin it. I've ridden this ride dozens of times, and I don't even think I've seen half the stuff there is to see in there.
No, absolutely not. Like I've seen footage I've seen ride through videos of people saying, "Oh, if you're in X position at Y time, Z will happen." And it's the kind of stuff I want to see for myself because, like, seeing it in a video looks cool, but I'm sure seeing it in person is even better.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the one thing. Like, a lot of rides, I think you'll be fine watching a ride video and kind of understanding what we're talking about. Runaway Railway, it's something you either have to watch, find like a 360 video, which I don't think you can. You might be able to, I don't know.
At least not a good quality one.
No, because Disney's kind of sticklers about what kind of camera sticks they let in the park, and I don't think you'll get away with anything that has a 360 attachment. Because they're all technically weapons. I know several stories of people getting beaten over the head with those things. Anyways, no, but genuinely, I feel like if you have to watch a ride video to understand, like, what the ride looks like, I respect that. But if you think you're going to understand the ride itself just off of a ride video, there is no ride where I could ever say you're more wrong than Runaway Railway. I think Runaway Railway and Rise of the Resistance happening right next to each other was just such an interesting time for Hollywood Studios, where all of a sudden they suddenly like tripled down on like super immersive rides. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. And now they're two really fun rides, but also because they went as hard as they did, they're also technical nightmares. At least Runaway Railway doesn't have to shut down for an hour and a half every day.
Actually, now that you mention that, if I had a nickel for every time Runaway Railway and Rise of Resistance were in the same park, I'd have two nickels. Which isn't a lot, but it's weird it's happened twice.
Huh. Yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't think about that.
I literally just now realized that.
I mean, that's way easier to do in Disneyland than it is to do in Disney World, but how the hell did Disney World do it by complete accident? Especially since we got both of them first.
Yeah.
Do you think it's because we got both of them first and just happened to put them both in the same park that Disneyland was like, yeah, okay. But no, because Disneyland got Galaxy's Edge first.
Yeah, and that had to go in Disneyland and not DCA. So they could have put Runaway Railway in California Adventure, but that would have been an out decision with Toontown still in Disneyland proper.
Yeah, it's so weird. I mean, I guess there was no other real option but for them to both be in the same park for completely different reasons in Disneyland's case, but also, like, huh. That just kind of, like, fell into place, didn't it?
Yeah. Park planning is weird.
Yeah.
I think that's going to be about it for this time. Next time, though, we have a very special one planned. We had originally intended the subject of the next episode to be a Patreon goal, but Patreon decided that wasn't having stated goals wasn't very worthwhile for growth, so thanks for that.
Every time I blink, Patreon's done something. Patreon is a nightmare of a website. You think Tumblr is the hell site? You don't. You're not a creator on Patreon if you're saying that.
But please do subscribe to the Patreon.
Please join the Patreon. You get to talk to us on Discord, which mostly just means you have to listen to me whinge about things for 20 minutes straight. But my whinging is extremely funny.
And anyway, so next time we will be talking about the Tower of Terror movie, and we will be joined by Josh from Super Scary Podcast.
Yeah, very exciting. I always love having guests on the podcast. It's so much fun.
It's actually going to be a full-scale crossover, because I don't know when that episode is going to release in relation to theirs, but we will be on an episode of their podcast shortly after.
Yeah, it's I love podcast guests. It's so much fun. so much fun. One of the best parts of doing this, to be completely honest. I makes me feel like a professional.
All right, but until then, we'll see you real soon.
Bye-bye.